The question was asked, when do we make a blessing of a Sheikh? Yanu. So it says in Shulchan Aruch the following. That if one has seen his friend who he hasn't seen in 30 days, then he makes the blessing of Sheikh Yanu. And for some reason, this custom has ceased, and most people do not make a Sheikh Yanu after seeing the friend who they haven't seen for 30 days. Now this has to be a friend that you're really happy to see, a guy you haven't seen and you'd like to see. But in essence, this is the halacha. The Sephardim, many still practice this. The Yemenites still practice this. And really, an Ashkenazi who wanted to could still practice this. There's no clear minhag that says we've stopped practicing this. But it seems that most people don't, and it's unclear why. So if you've spoken to him by phone and you've mailed him and you know he's okay, you've been emailing one another, so then we say you're not so happy to see him. Some say you should still make a Sheikh Yonah. But there's more reason to say that you're not so happy. You knew they were okay. But if you have a friend that you haven't seen in a while, so then if it's 30 days, you make Sheikh Yonu. After 12 months, the halacha says we make a blessing, mechayei ha-metim. We bless God for giving this guy life. We know that on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we get judged whether we'll live through the year or not. And after we've seen him and a year has passed, so we see that God has granted him life this long, and he, so to speak, was standing at the gates of death. He stood by a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and he made it. So we make a blessing, mechaye amitim. So that's the first example of Sheikh Yonu, one who has seen a friend. And if one, the next example is if a person has a new fruit. We're seeing new fruits in the market now, and see now a passion fruit or a passiflower or you see a pomegranate that their season has passed and now it's a new season. So you, when you see it in the market, you recognize that you've made it to another season. So you make the blessing, you see it, and you make the blessing. Now, so that's a new season. Now, the basic halacha is that you don't even have to eat it. You don't even have to own it. If you see that fruit in the market, so you already know you've made it to another season. Our custom is that we don't make the blessing of Sheikh Yanu until we eat the new fruit, and then we have to take care to make the blessing in the correct manner. Either to make the Sheikh Yanu prior to making the blessing on the fruit, so we make Sheikh Yanu, then we make a blessing on the fruit, and then we eat the fruit, or after you've taken a bite from the fruit. But ideally, the blessing should not be, the way many people do it, the blessing should not be between the blessing on the fruit and the eating of the fruit. What people sometimes do is they'll pick up a pomegranate, they'll open it up, they're ready to eat it, they say, Bori Priya Eitz, Sheikh Yonu, and then they eat it. And that, the Mishnah Berurah says, is wrong. We should not make the Sheikh Yonu between the blessing on the fruit and the eating of the fruit. It should either be before the blessing or after the eating, but not in between. So that's the second example of a Sheikh Yonu. And here, let's say you're not a fan of pomegranate. You're not going to buy pomegranate for Rosh Hashanah, but you do see it in the market. So you could go with the basic halacha and make a Sheikh Yonu in the marketplace. You see it in the shuk. You see your friend bought a pomegranate. You see it. You can make a Sheikh Yonu just because you saw it. Now, this applies to even two types that have different flavors. Meaning, let's say there's a season for green grapes, and a month later it's red grapes. So they're totally different tastes. So when the green grapes come to the market, you make a blessing. When the red grapes come to the market, you make a blessing. And when the gala apples come to the market, you make a blessing. And when the Granny Smith apples come to the market, you make a blessing. Now, this is true in Israel. In Chutz Laaretz, where you have these stores where you could purchase everything all the time, so then it's more problematic, because you can never say that things go by season only. When you buy oranges, you go to the supermarket in America, you could buy Granny Smith apples all year long. You might pay more, you might pay less. But you could always buy those apples. They're being imported from all over the world. You're buying Chiquita bananas, you can buy them all year long because they're being imported from Florida or from South America. And in America, it's much more complicated to make a blessing.
What? Fruits in America that are twice yearly because it's a month in the northern hemisphere and then a month in the southern hemisphere.
Right, but it's hard to say that those have seasons because most fruits in America you could buy almost all year long.
There are a lot that you can't.
Name one.
Pomelo. You can only get
I was in Chinatown. I think they're selling it most of the year. I mean, maybe in other places not. But
it's a hands club in Rochester.
Okay, fine. If you live in a place where really things go by seasons, as they do here in Israel, so then that would be the case. Okay. Now, it has to be a fruit that has set seasons. And now if it has two seasons twice a year, so you make it twice a year. Meaning if there are two twice a year that you have seasons for that fruit, then you'll make it twice a year. But it has to have set seasons. You can't make a blessing on vegetables because they don't have set seasons. Vegetables grow most of the year. So ordinarily we don't make shechiyona on vegetables, but there can be, I don't know if melon is called a vegetable. Is a melon called a vegetable? A watermelon, a melon? They do come from the cucumber family. It's called a fruit. Okay, so I don't know. Okay. Now, when we make a shechiyonu, we have to make it on the fruit that's fit to eat. Meaning, if you see raw grapes that are not yet ripe, really, and when you eat them, they're so sour to the taste. So then, you don't make a shechiyonu. You make shechiyonu when it's ready. Now, that's the second example of a shechiyonu. So we said the first example is when one sees a friend he hasn't seen in a long time. And the second example is when one sees fruit that comes from season to season. The third example is not brought here in this Siman and Shulchan Aruch. And that is when one purchases something which is extraordinary. You buy a new car, so you're going to use that car. So then you make a shechiyonu. You bought yourself a new talis, and it cost you, let's say, $150. You bought a very fancy talis with very good strings. So any purchase that's substantial, you make a shechiyonu on. If you bought new shoestrings that cost you 10 shekel, you're not going to make shechiyonu on it. For most people, purchasing a new talis katan, a new tzitzis, is not something substantial. It's like buying a new tie. You might have paid 100 shekel for a new tie, but you're not so excited over it. It's not like buying something that is a substantial expense. So if you buy tcheles, where you're paying what they call tcheles, you're paying, let's say, 300-400 shekel. I don't want to enter. We have a class online as to whether that is or isn't tcheles. Different opinions. You could look in the question and answer session. I'm not getting into it, whether it is or isn't. That's not my concern. I mean, it is my concern, but not right now. If you're purchasing tzitzis that cost you a substantial amount, then this could change from person to person. So then you make shechiyonu. A person buys a shofar, how much did you pay for that? 200 shekel? What, less? 150, 100? I don't think most people consider that a real investment. Like, it's money, but so again, it depends on what books. I mean, you buy yourself a Shulchan Aruch that costs you 1,500 shekels, so that's substantial. That's one thing. You buy yourself a new chumash that costs you 25 shekel, so then you can't really make shechiyonu on it.
Now, for things that you need to rock, like about $5,000
or so, oh, yeah.
Can I make the rock? Is it a good thing to sort of coordinate the rock of shechiyonu with the rock of stone? Say shechiyonu right before I make
it. Yeah. Yeah, I want to quote it from inside. Give me one second.
So what I've seen people make, I think I remember correctly, I've seen people make a shechiyonu after they make a erot. Is it not
true? For some reason, it is the custom, but the Mishnah Berurah says it's wrong, right? So it says the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah.
So I got a new set of high holiday sitters.
I don't think that's
not a set, right?
Yeah, but it's not. I don't think that's something that's so substantial. It's not. Yeah, okay, but still, it's not a substantial amount of money. Most people, the examples that the Gemara gives, that the Halacha gives, is a person builds a new home. Okay, that's an investment. You build a new home. Even the cheapest home is still going to cost you $75,000. The Halacha gives another example that a person purchased new vessels. So it has to be something that really makes a person happy. Now, each person, depending on his level. If a person's monthly income is, he's living down in Mexico, and his monthly income is, let's say, 200 shekel, so for him, buying a shofar for 150 shekel is something that's very, very substantial. It depends on where a person's holding financially. If it's a person that's very wealthy, and when he buys a car, you know, okay, so he buys a car, so then he can't make it on that. Now, when, just one second, when it comes to the joy is the factor. The question is, how happy are you? Okay. When the question about buying Sfarim is, here there's a discussion, because really you're purchasing, say for you're purchasing, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to purchase Sfarim. It's a mitzvah to learn from them. And being that mitzvahs we're not giving for our own personal pleasure, so then there's a question whether one should make a blessing or not. So there are two opinions. You want to make a blessing, you have who to rely on. You don't want to make a blessing, you have who to rely on. About Sfarim, it's questionable whether we make a blessing. And I think we would say the same thing about tefillin. I'm not sure. I don't know about tefillin if we'd say the same svara. The idea is that you're happy you purchased them. You're rejoicing not with the performance of the mitzvah, but rather with the ownership. That now you have the sefer in your possession. You could have learned it in the library. Now you own it. You could have borrowed someone else's tefillin. Now you own them. So maybe there's room to say the same svara. I don't know. I would prefer before you decide which way to go, ask someone who feels comfortable telling you which way to go, because I don't know. So that's the third example of saying Shechionu. And Shechionu doesn't have to be that you purchase new items. Could be you bought a used chauffeur, you bought something, someone's used car, but for you, that's your new car, so you make a blessing on it. Yeah. Does it apply to family? Why not? Sure. I have a hard time saying most, but that's the impression I have. That if you're in touch, I don't think over here it says like this. The indication over here. The Mishnah Brewer says that some say yes, some say no, that if you've gotten word that he's okay, so some say you should make a blessing, Shechionu, if you're seeing a friend that you haven't seen for 30 days. But you know that he's okay, either because you got letters or emails or you've been in touch. So here they're not discussing where you spoke to him by phone. I don't know, maybe where you spoke to him by phone there's even more reason not to make the blessing. Right. But what it says in the Mishnah Brewer is that even when you just mailed one another, or people told you he's okay, so here there are different opinions as to whether you can make the blessing or not. I don't know of anyone that discusses directly what happens about phone conversation, like if you spoke to the person. Or you could say, what happens if I saw him on Skype, on the internet, we saw one another. So I didn't really see him. In essence, when you see someone on the internet, you're not seeing the person. But for all intents and purposes, when it comes to rejoicing over seeing him, you saw him. So I have to tell you, I haven't seen my parents in a long time. I mean, years. and I have a... No, I was in America almost a year ago. So and before that, it was years, a few years since I had seen my parents. And I saw them on Skype. And I have to tell you that I can't say that seeing them on Skype comes close to seeing them in the flesh and blood. The happiness in seeing them face to face is so overwhelming, so much bigger than seeing them on Skype. I would have a hard time hearing that you saw them on Skype, so that counts. So I don't know. This is something that someone bigger than me has to answer, and I don't know what people bigger than me said. I have to verify. I don't know. The Mishnah Brewer says though he is mitzaded. He seems to be leaning to say that even just because you had communication through letters, you shouldn't make the blessing, because some of the rabbis hold that letters is enough, that you know that he's okay, and therefore you don't make the blessing. Okay, but I don't know. I don't know what we'd say about that. Yeah. What? That's a good question. I don't know. You're saying if you're going to be lenient and say right. I hear it. It's an excellent question. I have to check it out. Remind me at the end of class. I'll write it down. I have to verify. It's a good question. Yeah.
Now, if there's two fruits, A and B, that I haven't eaten, since for a year, and I have one chef, what if there's two friends? Why
I don't know. This is a question that's been bothering me for years. The custom seems to be on Rosh Hashanah that we divide the Shehecheyanu based on when the fruits come before you. Meaning, when being that our custom is to make Shehecheyanu when you eat it, so you bring it in different meals, and then you make Shehecheyanu on each meal when you bring those fruits. What would be if you bring one at the beginning of the meal and one at the end of the meal? I don't know. I have to look into it.
What if I go to the store and say, oh, wow, these two fruits are new fruits I've never eaten in my life. Can I have one Shehecheyanu?
You definitely could make one Shehecheyanu. But whether you could divide it, so our custom is that we do divide. Every meal when we eat it, then we make the Shehecheyanu.
Right.
I'll tell you the truth. This is a sticky question. Because some people really love making Shehecheyanu, and some people are happy saying one and getting it over with. So, in truth, the way I understood Rabbi Feinstein when I was learning by him, he basically said, look, this is our custom, this concept that we wait till the time we eat the fruits. And really, you should make it when you see it in the store. So if you're in the store and you see five new fruits, make Shehecheyanu, you just saw the new fruits. And the fact that you're going to wait and say it at home when you have all the fruits, so he didn't address this directly. He just once pointed out that really, why do you wait till you get to the house? Why this is a custom, but still there's room to go back to the basic halacha of making Shehecheyanu when you see it in the store. With that in mind, I always have a problem at home. Making Shehecheyanu on Rosh Hashanah night on this fruit, in the morning on the next fruit, and the next night on the next fruit. So I try to cheat. I ask my wife to buy all the new fruits. That way I don't see him till I see him at the table. And that way I'm not as worried about it. I'm not one of those people that love making Shehecheyanu. I'm happy to say Shehecheyanu, but if Chazal wouldn't have told me to make Shehecheyanu on a new fruit, I'm not on the level where I would have wanted to make it on my own. I see a new fruit, I say, good, there are apples in the market. I don't feel like now I made it another season. It's wrong of me. I should be that way. But being that I don't feel it as much, so I have a hard time making five different Shehecheyanus on five different fruits. So therefore, I try to get out of it by my wife. She loves making Shehecheyanu. So I let her do, she purchases the fruits, and then we both make Shehecheyanu in each meal that we bring out the new fruit. But that's in general, it's a good question. I don't know. Yeah?
I got a question. It's from yesterday.
So wait. Let's finish up with Shehecheyanu, and then we'll go on to new stuff.
Okay, about his question, shouldn't it be only one if you don't divide them? Shouldn't it only be one because
it's
a Zman Hazeh? Like a time-related thing, not a...
Yeah, but Zman Hazeh is indicated by each one differently. You see that if you'd see them separately, each one indicates a different point.
Of course, but if there's no way to divide the two, if they're right
your
next
guess
to each other on the shelf, or the people walk in hand,
right? So I agree. I think so.
It should be one because it's a time.
I think so. I have to look. I have to look. Remember, I didn't prepare a class on this concept. The question was asked. I have to look it up. I don't remember offhand. Yosef, I'm with you. You want
to?
On Shehecheyanu, no. So let's just finish. Yeah. So we didn't get to that. Maybe we'll have a separate class on Shehecheyanu. We had one, yeah.
And if also like most of the times, if there is a safek, bracha lebatala,
right,
it's preferable not to say.
The Mishnah Berurah goes that way. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that Shehecheyanu is no different than any other blessings, and safek pachot la'akil. He says it openly in more than one place. But not everyone agrees with him on that. Some say that by Shehecheyanu, maybe it's different. That Shehecheyanu might be different than other blessings because it's a Birkat HaShevach, it's not Birkat HaNenim. But that's the way Mishnah Berurah goes. Now, the first question, so we said it goes by seasons. It's not an issue of the year, it has to have a set season. If it has... So that depends. How'd you get it? Meaning, if it's around all year, because even though it has set seasons, they import it and you have it all year long in the marketplace. And then we said it's difficult to make Shehecheyanu on such a fruit, because it's around all the time. It doesn't indicate anything to you. The fact that out in Algeria or Guatemala it has its set season doesn't interest you. In your marketplace you see it all the time, so it doesn't indicate anything to you. So there we said it's a problem making a Shehecheyanu, because you have it all the time.
Isn't the personal pleasure that you get out of it, or is it?
It has to be that you recognize it's a new season. Rav Moshe Feinstein said that in Russia, where all they had to eat were potatoes, and all went along, they were eating rotten potatoes. And then when a new season came and they got fresh potatoes, they were so happy with the fresh potato, they'd make shechiyonu on it. I don't remember, one of the rabbanim in Bnei Brak used to say when they'd ask him about saying Hallel on Yom HaTzmut, he said, I remember in Europe, we'd get a rotten tomato. And we were so happy with this rotten tomato, we'd make a blessing of a shechiyonu over this rotten tomato because we finally have a tomato. Well, the Medina is no worse than a rotten tomato. That's what he used to say.
I should make a big call back over out of that.
That's what he used to say. No, he was arguing. He was arguing that you should definitely say halal. This was in the time of the Medina. This goes back 50 years.
That you should.
He was saying the Medina is no worse than a rotten tomato. Yeah, Rav Magnus quotes it. Rav Magnus in Merkaz Rav always quotes the story. I don't remember who the Rav was. That's what the Chazon Ish said. Yeah. Okay. So let's go back to our topic. We're discussing Shechiyanu, and we said that if you purchase either new garments or new vessels, something that's substantial to you. And then we mentioned that when it comes to making a blessing on a mitzvah, on something that you purchased for a mitzvah, like new sfarim, so that's questionable. Different people have different opinions. The next thing is when it comes to when do you make the blessing when you purchase new things. So the Shulchan Aruch says ideally you should make the blessing when you purchase it, because your happiness is when you purchase it. But if you buy a new suit that costs you $500, and for you $500 is a substantial amount of money, so then some have the custom when you wear it. But ideally, he says you should make the blessing when you wear it. Our custom is we make the blessing malbisha humim. We thank Hashem for clothing us, for giving us clothes. Now, what about if you bought something that you and your family is going to use? You bought a new car, but you and your wife are going to use it. You bought a new house, and you and your family are going to live in that house. So we have a rule that whenever we'd say Shechiyanu, but it's something that's really other people are going to benefit from as well, not only you. So we make the blessing of Atovu Meitiv. Atov v'hametiv. Baruch Ta Hashem, Lokeinu Melech Haolam. Hatov, who is good, v'hametiv, and does good to others, meaning to other people, meaning me and my family, not only me. And some say that the same thing is true if someone gave you a gift. So then someone gave you a new car. Your parents say, happy birthday, we just bought you a new car. So then Chazal say that you make the blessing of Atov HaMetiv. They're happy you got the new car, and you're happy you got the new car. So it made two people happy. With the second, more than one person was happy, we make the blessing of Atov HaMetiv. There's one more subject which we should really discuss, which is when a person has a baby. But maybe we'll leave that for when we're actually doing the special class on Shechiyanu. When a person has a baby, so then also we have depends, but that's a class in and unto itself. So we'll leave that open. Before you have a child, Bezrat Hashem, when your wife is 7 months pregnant, so verify how you make the blessing when a baby is born, but that I want to leave to the side because you'll have a lot of questions on that, and rightfully so. So we'll leave that for its own class. These questions are about Shechiyanu?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I think so. Assuming you're going to make a blessing when you see it, and then I think you would make one. I have to check. I'm telling you offhand. I don't remember offhand that it says it anywhere, but that's what I have in mind. Yeah, but for most friends, are you really that happy to see them? It has to be people you're happy to see. If you're happy to see them, fine. Yeah, if you're really that happy. I mean, I don't have that many people in my life that would make me happy enough to make a Shechiyanu.
Agreed. I mean, I can't think of anyone right now. I'm like, oh.
Your parents, your siblings, I assume.
Friends.
I mean, No, I have a few. You have a few friends that you're really happy to see. The truth is that here in Machon Meir, it's different. And there are a lot of guys that I have no idea what's doing with them, and they show up after 2 years, and I do want to make a Shechion. So maybe there are more people, but they're not centrally located. They're all over the world.
We're non-Jewish, but
I don't know. It says happiness. It says a friend. It doesn't. I don't know of anywhere that it says it has to be a Jewish friend.
Okay,
if you have a non-Jewish friend, I don't know of a source that says otherwise.
So there's something about if you haven't seen the ocean in 6 months.
That's a different halacha. If you want, you could ask that in a minute. We'll do that.
But okay, so going to a frat for the first time in 9 months almost.
Doesn't say a new place.
No. Okay.
No.
Okay. That's all right.